Coming up on this episode of Cryptid Addicted.
They're fine. They're chill. They don't know they're like horribly different.
Bigfoot's real.
It's like a deer, clearly. Or is it?
Hunting monsters with a pasty.
And then it's just like a face. There's no neck. There's no neck where it should be.
Hello!
Hello!
Hello.
That's so unpleasant from me. Welcome to the Who Dis episode. Who Dis 18.
Is it? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We're both a bit phlegmy, as you can tell.
What? I'm not phlegmy.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Maybe we've got coronavirus. We should probably work from home for a month, just to be sure.
Just to be sure. Welcome. Welcome to the podcast. This is Cryptid Addicted. We're a podcast about cryptozoology, which is the study of unidentified animals, potentially, such as Nessie or swan maidens.
Wait, aren't they definitely wait, what do you mean unidentified? What does that mean? I thought they were unrecognized.
Ah, same shit, right?
But you said potentially. They're like 100% unrecognized. For sure.
Oh.
For shiz.
Well, I said unidentified.
Yeah.
Potentially unidentified. As in potentially, because some of them are absolute make-believe.
And some of them will turn out to be real animals. I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and identified.
I understand.
Officially sworn into the scientific books.
Yes.
Yep.
Understood.
Yep.
Capiche.
Yep.
All right.
Capiche.
And these are our fun, casual, chit-chatty episodes instead of our big, long, deep dive ones.
Yes, so we talk about monster news, encounters, including stuff from listeners. Yeah, I mean, I suppose if it's a good place to say as anything, if you've seen anything crazy and wild that you want us to analyze, send it to cryptidaddicted@gmail.com.
Yeah.
We'd love to look at it.
That's right. Send us anything. We don't mind. Don't be intimidated by the fact that one of us works closely with the BBC. That's you.
Hint. Okay, Patty is hinting at me telling you guys about a recent BBC interview I did for the podcast, about the podcast. Some of you may know, I came back not too long ago from the Research and Witness Convention 2020, or RawCon, which is basically a convention all about cool stuff like cryptozoology, ufology, paranormal excellence. And I did the opening speech for the whole convention. It was awesome. I was there for the whole weekend. And for it, I got interviewed by Phil White on the BBC, Humberside, and did a little introduction and interview into what I do, which I'm sure you guys know, but basically they had an exhibition there for photography of the unexplained, and I had four of my photos up there. Some of you may not know, I'm a photographer on the side, always has been since I was a little girl. And I had two photos from the Hoya Bucu Forest in Romania of strange lights. I had the Yowie footprint that me and Patty found on our expedition, and I had the Kappa Shrine from Japan, which is a sort of water cryptid they revere in Japan. So that was up there. I talked them through that. I told them a bit about what I do, how I hunt monsters, and teased them, gave them a little teaser for my Yowie speech, which I did later that day. And it was awesome. And so,
can we watch it? Is there a link? Excellent. I have not watched it yet. I would like to watch it. How long is it?
7 minutes.
Maybe you just have a link to it. But like,
yeah.
Okay. Guys, listen to it. It's only 7 minutes. Come on. It's free. We're not even charging you $1 a month for this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Cool. So if you guys want to listen to that, I will put it on the Facebook page. Take a listen. Yeah. See? Yeah. Just me chatting.
Yeah.
Just telling people about what we do here. But yeah, I suppose a little side note that we mentioned on the last big episode is I took heaps of awesome footage while I was there. So I obviously attended the whole event for 3 days. There was talks on the British book Bigfoot, on remote viewing, on how to look for ghosts and what equipment to use. And I filmed all those. And we're housing that on our Patreon, www.patreon.com/cryptidaddicted. And for as little as $1 a month, you can have access to all of that,
cool,
including the extra bi-weekly special episodes we do which are the question episodes, and currently we just released one, which is, are there any cryptid whale species? And the answer is, hell yes. little spoiler. But yeah, boogie on down to that, say hi, and sign up to the cryptid crew. That'd be great. Yeah.
Cool. Sweet, sweet. All right.
Let's get on with the news. Let's dive into the news. Yes.
The news in cryptids. Yes. I was gonna, because I never do any work for this show.
Okay.
But you were like, maybe can you please help out with the research a bit this time? And I said yes, and then ended up not doing anything.
Classic.
But for the like half an hour where I tried to do a bit of research, I accidentally went to the wrong subreddit. I went to r/cryptids instead of r/cryptozoology. Turns out that is like 95% just people drawing or like knitting cryptids.
How do I not have this in my life? I didn't know about this.
So, if any of you are interested in that, I thought that was kind of funny. I was like, wow, there really isn't a lot of evidence for these cryptids. Hey, it's just people doing fan art. But then I found the proper cryptozoology one. So I thought that was a bit funny just to mention up front.
Fair.
Yeah. First item of news was a kind of funny one, sort of a funny item. In North Carolina County, there were all of these sightings reported to the Animal Services Department there of a Bigfoot with big red eyes that people had driven past on a drive near a big forest. And it turns out some guy made a big wood carving of a Bigfoot with like marble eyes, and people's car lights would reflect off the marble and it would make it look like it had big glowing red eyes. So the Department of Animal Services, I think together with like the police, made this Facebook post being like, please stop calling 911 about this fucking wood carving on the highway.
Yes. So good.
Yeah.
So hilarious. Yeah, the road is Pine Ridge Road in a town called Moxville, which is actually pretty funny. Ironic name there, Moxville.
Yeah,
central North Carolina. I don't know if it's still there, but if you're in that area, go check it out. And that's hilarious. Take a photo, send it to us. That's cool.
Yeah. Amusingly, I was doing a little bit of research, and there seems to be a big Bigfoot community in North Carolina. There were some people on this Facebook post being like, I don't believe you, Animal Services guys. Bigfoot's real. But yeah, no.
I mean, Bigfoot is real, but this was a statue in this case.
Yeah. There's a group of them, like more than 50, that call themselves Bigfoot 911.
Yes, they're quite famous.
And they walk around in the forests, like dropping glow sticks and shit, because apparently Bigfoots will pick up glow. It just sounds like you're just littering a lot, to be honest, but whatever. And there was a cool video I saw, which I think was in the article you linked to me, like the full version.
Oh.
Of like either a guy in a gorilla suit or a Bigfoot. It was like a 2015 video, but it's like one of the good videos of Bigfoot that exists, and it happens to come from North Carolina, pretty near here.
Oh, let me look into that.
But while I was looking into this, more cool than the fact that there are the Bigfoot Society, is that in North Carolina, they have done the world's largest random trap cam thing project.
Oh, for Bigfoot specifically?
No, not at all. Like the Department of Animals or whatever, Wildlife Department, did it to try and just document like what are all the species in North Carolina.
Hmm.
So they had 4,300 trap cams set up over 3 years, and they were specific cameras that would only turn on and take a photo if they detected movement and like thermal signatures. They ended up capturing 2.1 million wildlife photos, like photos of animals.
Cool. How many big feet?
Biggest thing ever. Zero big feet, unfortunately. But lots of other rare species, like the nine-banded armadillo, which got kept, like things that like haven't been captured in a long time.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and like thousands and thousands of photos of like deer and bears and stuff. So I thought that was pretty good proof that maybe there are not Bigfeet in North Carolina, at least. But I don't want to antagonize Bigfoot 911. So
you were like shifty as hell, then you're like checking your shoulder then when you're whispering into the microphone. They're not coming after you, Patty. It's fine.
I think they're insane. But yeah,
I'm gonna look at this video you've just sent. Oh, okay. I've seen this before.
Yeah. Relevant.
Yeah, it's like a lady with her dog.
Yeah.
And it gets up and walks away. Ooh, what's this link?
This link is much cooler. This is the trap study one. It's a pretty cool website. Like, they clearly spent a lot of money on this. Wow. And it shows you where all the trap cams were throughout North Carolina. And there's, like, photos and the lists of animals they saw and all sorts of stuff.
Neat.
It's very cool. Anyone interested in, like, maps and data and stuff and animals, I would give it a go.
Ooh, some of these photos are sick. They're very cryptid-y as well, like, because they're a trap cam in the middle of the night. Like, there's, I'm looking at one right now that's, like, a deer, clearly. Or is it?
I thought it was cool. So, that's my one thing I found.
Check out the deer photo.
Whoa.
Devil deer.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah.
Big fan. Cool. I'll share that on Facebook, guys, so you can have a looky-loo.
Yeah, pretty groovy. But, yeah, who knows? Maybe there's big feet everywhere except North Carolina. Why not? all right, what's item two? You do item two.
Sure. So item two is, like, a little bit of a weird one, and it's more of a talking point than anything else, but it's definitely got a photo accompaniment that you guys need to check out. So... So this is brought to my attention recently, but it turns out it was actually from Feb 26th, 2018, so 2 years ago. But it's pretty cool. So basically there's this group of hunters and trappers called the Idaho Trappers Association, and they shared a picture on their Facebook page of a coyote that has a severe spinal, they call it a disease, but I don't believe it's a disease. Technically, it's more of a mutation or a, there's a different word. Malformation? Mutation?
Malformity?
Malformity? Yeah.
Deformity?
Deformity, thank you.
Malformity is another thing. Deformity, yeah.
In the spine, and I'm jumping ahead, but basically there's a photo of this unfortunately deceased coyote that was shot near New Mexico or in New Mexico, and it looks freaky, basically, and it is deceased, so obviously there's a little bit of a warning there that there is some blood and it is a deceased animal, but basically it's like it's missing its neck. It's like a full body and a kind of hunched, like, hunchback of Notre Dame body, and then it's just like a face. There's no neck where it should be. The face even looks a little bit funky, but it may have been shot in the face, so that might be why it looks a little funky. But it's definitely missing a neck. So I follow pretty much any cryptozoology Facebook page that there is, because there's some good stuff on there from random people just getting put on. So this is from Cryptozoology and You, and someone posted this photo again, and some people brought it to our attention, which is why we're talking about it now. But the comments are really cool. So this guy called Gene. It's not Gene. How do you pronounce the man, Gene? John?
What?
Gene.
Oh, Jean. Like J-E-A-N.
Jean? Yeah. Is it Jean?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
So this guy called John Yves Gelat. Sorry, I was probably murdering that name. Put heaps of different links to other cases that this has happened. First of all, look at the photo. It's on our Facebook page. But it's this deformed coyote that looks terrifying. If you saw it in the wild, you'd think that it was some sort of hyena or cryptid.
Yeah.
So it's two links, and people may have heard of Quasimodo, the hunchback hound, before. It's essentially this German shepherd dog that became an internet sensation, and it had this similar deformity where it was missing some vertebrae, essentially. So its head was like right on its shoulders when it didn't have a neck like a normal dog. That's exactly what this coyote looks like, which is awesome because, like, there are cryptids, and Patty might not know this, some of you may not know this, there are cryptid sightings of hyenas all around the world. Even Australia has hyena cryptid sightings, basically. And there's like, ooh, did they escape from zoos? But if I saw that in the wild, I'd think it was a hyena, like, or some other, like, the, like, wahila or something.
Oh.
So very cool. But this has been tested positive. It is absolutely a coyote.
Right. So maybe these hyena cryptid sightings could be just spinally deformed dog things.
Yeah, I mean, it's an adult. This thing that's shot is an adult, and these dogs that have the same deformity, again, I'll put the photos up on Facebook, they're fine. They're chill. They don't know they're, like, horribly deformed. They just go around eating and mating and...
Well, probably not too much mating.
Oh, yeah, it's not the sexiest looking coyote. And, like, they're perfectly functioning adult animals. So they absolutely could be out there and... definitely rare, but more rare than a hyena. I don't know. So
yeah,
I don't know. That's why I wanted to talk about it, because I just thought it's definitely could be.
Yeah, that's
people cool. Definitely could have seen this coyote.
It makes it look scarier. I feel like it's not just
terrifying.
Funny looking. It looks like a hellhound or something, like a demon dog.
Yes, it just looks wrong.
Yeah,
like God cocked up.
Yeah.
He was drunk when he designed that one. Like, it's just disgusting. Sorry, I know they're cute dogs and everything, but, like, it's disturbing. But, yeah, anyway, that's why I wanted to touch on that. Did you have anything to
Much. It looks a bit creepy. I couldn't use the links. So, yeah, that was it. But, yeah, I agree. It's cool to... I feel like if you're in the business of saying maybe science is wrong, you should know all of the things that science is aware of first before you say science is wrong. And this is one of them. Like, there are spinal deformities. There are weird mutations. There's a lot of weird shit that is within the scientific world and explained by science.
Yeah.
Like mutations.
When we first started this podcast, you were like, mange. You like mange, clung on to that.
And it's good to have more. Now there's like spinal deformities.
Now you have a whole repertoire of things. Color morphs, mange. Spinal deformities.
Escape
zoo animals.
And I still probably only know like 10% of the things. Or maybe less. You know, there's probably a bunch of weird shit that science can explain that we don't even know about yet. So, yeah. I would just be cautious when saying like, scientists can't explain this. Experts are baffled, you know. Doctors hate this woman. They can't explain how she's losing weight so quickly or whatever. And it's like, shut up. Anyway.
Don't lump us in with those people.
You know, those banner ads. Yeah, anyway.
I do, yeah. Daily Mail ads. Daily Mail alicos. How does this 18-year-old get so rich or whatever?
Yeah.
Ow! Cool. And then so the last item of the episode is a encounter. And I wanted to talk about this encounter because it's sort of like a little tribute slash segue slash thing that we want to talk about. So... again, we mentioned that conference at the beginning of the episode. Well, I've got a different conference coming up where I'm doing a talk. So that conference is Bigfoot Cryptids and the Unexplained Conference in Leyland 2020. I'm going to be doing a speech again. This time my speech is going to be on how to hunt monsters. So if you've ever wanted to be a cryptozoologist, if you've ever wanted to go out there and look for Bigfoot or the Yowie, come on down, come to the speech. I'll take you through it. It's going to be really exciting. I'll put the link on our website. Tickets are 25 quid. I mean, it doesn't go to me. I'm just a speaker. Yeah, the money doesn't go to me. It goes to Deborah Hatswell, who is basically running this show. Again, I mention her all the time. She's a badass. She is the leading expert on the British Bigfoot. And yeah, I'm going to be talking at that. Anyway, go to the thing, buy a ticket, come say hi. I'll be there. It'll be great. I want to meet you guys. Come say hi. That'd be great. I think it'd be cool. I love meeting you guys. Love meeting the community. Love meeting the fans. It'd be cool. But anyway, so the reason I chose the upcoming encounter is because Deborah Hatswell, the owner and creator of this convention, has a Google integrated sightings maps for cryptids and all the unexplained stuff. So... it's amazing. So if you basically picture Google Maps, you look on it and it has little icons like a Bigfoot icon or a Dogman icon. You click on it and it tells you the story. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. So I wanted to choose something that's going to be just around the corner from when we're doing the convention. So that, because I'm going for the whole weekend and I'm going to be doing some lovely monster hunting on the Friday, Saturday.
Does that mean you're going to be walking around the British countryside?
You know, looking for Bigfoot.
Hunting monsters with a pasty. All right.
I thought you were going to say passion.
No.
With a pastry. Yes. Anyway, so I want to tell you guys a little bit of... This is a British Bigfoot sighting that we're going to read. And it's about that area. So if you're coming down for the convention, and here's some background knowledge, if you got some time, go looking for monsters, guys. Go looking for British Bigfoot and tell us what you find. So this is a really cool sighting. Do you want to read it out? Shall I read it out?
I can read it out if you want.
Yeah.
Okay. It begins in July of 1996. So this is, Deborah got this story secondhand. This guy approached her in 2016, and his sighting is from when he was a kid, when he was 13 years old. So in 1996. So this is a bit old, but here's the sighting. Back in 1996, when I was 13 years of age, a friend and I witnessed something in the local woods that lie close to the small village where I lived. This happens to be, as an aside, in the Tarleton area of Lancashire. And to this very day, I cannot explain it. I've tried to work out what I saw, and like many people in the UK who have seen similar things, I can only describe it as an ape-like human-looking creature covered in hair. We were only young kids back then, and just messing about and entertaining ourselves, as kids do. We would go down there often, and this day was no different at first. If only we had known... This day was going to be very strange, and decades later, it would still be imprinted on our minds. We had just completed building an assault course through the woods with rope swings and that sort of stuff, and we were giving it a try, and we were running the course and making a racket when we both noticed something vague and hard to describe that came walking through the brush ahead of us. No more than 15 feet away. We didn't know what it, in inverted commas, was, and we had never seen anything like it before. We watched as it came walking into a part clearing. This thing, also in inverted commas, this guy's a fan, was broad, but it wasn't much taller than us at the time. It was about 5'5", he estimates, but its body was huge. It was hairy and thick with muscle. I remember it having a humped back, almost. It was sort of stooped, and it was walking with purpose when it just stopped. At the time, my friend and I looked at each other, not knowing what we were seeing, and wordless. Oh no, sorry. Knowing that what we were seeing was wordless. Don't really know what that means, but whatever. Even now, I'm struggling to describe what it looked like. And what it felt like to me standing there looking at it. Oh, God, these are so many inverted commas looking at it.
You don't have to put the emphasis on the
it. You do, that's why they're there. I'm just trying to be faithful to the original telling.
Okay, well done, well done.
We started to back off until we felt like it was okay to pick up the pace. As we looked back, we noticed it was trying to focus on us through the trees, keeping a watch on our movements and where we were heading. Question mark. But then, at that moment, it let out a blood-curdling grunt slash scream. It was a terrifying noise. Up until that point, I had kept telling myself it was just a strange-looking person, an adult. But that scream changed everything. Knowing it wasn't a person, we ran away even quicker than ever. And because of fear of that incident, the man has never returned to that wooded area. And then he repeats that this all happened in Tarleton, Lancashire. Mm-hmm. Last of all, he says the creature had long, dark grey hair, matted with light brown patches. He says, again, it was hairy, thick, muscly, and he will never forget that day. So that's the sight.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So,
what do you think? Who dis?
Who dis? Well, this, I believe, is the British... Blah, blah, blah. I ruined it. This is the British Bigfoot, Padraic.
Of course it is. Tell me more.
Mm-hmm. Tales of big, hairy humanoids are literally around the world. We've got the Yeti, we've got the Bigfoot in America, we've got the Yowie in Australia, we've got even smaller and, like, lesser-known ones, like the Yeren or... the Nuckluck or whatever, Almasty, they're everywhere. And this is basically the UK equivalent, the British Bigfoot. From What I've heard, it's generally considered more Neanderthal sort of looking, more like a man, but definitely hairy, definitely apish, but in the face, like a hooded nose, like our nose, more flat and squished, but more human, less ape in the face.
Hmm.
When I moved here, when I started the podcast, didn't really know there was a British Bigfoot. And when I found out about it, I was like, that's not true. Totally believe in it today.
For real?
Yes. For real.
You drank the Hatswell Kool-Aid. All right.
I interviewed Deborah Hatswell, as some of you may know. She had a sighting when she was 15. There are sightings everywhere. There's one in Box Hill, which is south of where I live, that I've gone out and on an expedition to look for it.
You live in London.
It's an hour south on the bus, okay? It's quite far out. There are beautiful green open spaces in the UK. Thank you very much, Paddy.
The Finsbury Park Bigfoot. Like, come on, get real.
Look, they live in America. They live in Australia. I think they also live in the UK. There are huge expanses of green here. In Scotland, there's huge expanses of green.
I'm not disputing there's big stretches of green space. I'm disputing that they're filled with 6-foot hairy humanoids. Anyway.
I mean, I don't know what more to say about this. I believe in the British Bigfoot. We're obviously going to do a whole big episode on it in the future.
Okay, well, even if you do, why do you believe in this particular sighting?
Why would anyone...
It's a shit story. Like, no offense to whoever he was, but it sucks. God. Like, it's incredibly typical. There's almost no detail or color to it that's unique. You could almost have had this written by, like, an AI algorithm that just goes through past Bigfoot articles and mashes them together. You know, oh, it's hairy. It's a humanoid. It let out a blood-curdling cry, like, yawn. Come on. Of course it did.
Oh, God. Why would anyone... take the time to write this in to someone. It's literally just like, I need to get this off my chest sort of feel.
You're right. It's almost so pedestrian and boring and unoriginal that it wouldn't be worth making up. So that lends it some credibility, I grant. But okay. It's just really hard to tell with anecdotes and stories. Like, how do you know?
Of course it is.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe this is a guy that's sincerely trying to remember or record a childhood memory that has become a bit worn down over the decades and the passage of time, and so is a bit simple because some of the details have faded. But maybe he's just a guy making shit up and he's not good at it. Maybe he's just a bad, you know, maybe he's just a moron. This is his stab at fiction. Who knows?
But why? Why would someone be doing fiction there? Go on, like, Creepypasta or even Reddit, unfortunately. This is like a collation of people's sightings. He's not going to get any fame and glory out of this. And, like, if he was going to make that up, make yourself 20. Make yourself a reasonable age. Like, he was 13. No one would make themselves up and say, oh, I was a kid. And then be open up to ridicule of saying, oh, you were just a kid.
Well, there's no ridicule. He's anonymous, right? But maybe he's being sincere and genuine, and he's wrong. Could be that as well. I don't know. Anecdotes are so weak. They're so weak.
Let's go down that route. That's an interesting route I want to take us down. So in America, one of the obvious barriers to the Bigfoot is people could be seeing bears. In Australia, we don't have that barrier. We don't have bears. In the UK... same sort of thing. They don't have bears. So if people, and there's a lot of people seeing these Bigfoot things, what are they seeing? Humans?
Wait, hang on. You don't know they're seeing anything. Like, assume there's a country where we know for a fact there is no Bigfoot. I'm not saying England is that country, but just hypothetically. Imagine we knew with 100% certainty there was no Bigfoot. There would still be stories of Bigfoot sightings, right? Mm.
But not so many.
How many would you expect in a country where there is no Bigfoot? I don't know how to answer that question. How do you know that this is too many?
In the last 20 years, I'd say like 10 or something is like...
I don't know. If it becomes a thing that crazy people can coalesce around, you know, then why not more? I don't know. I don't know what to make of any of it.
I think thousands is pushing it, though. Like hundreds of sightings is too much to ignore.
No, it's not too much to ignore. There are millions of people in England. Look, if it exists, set up some fucking track cams, do the hard yards, show me footage. Show me photos. Show me a corpse. That'd be fantastic. Or some fur. Or anything that has live DNA in it that doesn't match any other animal. That would be fantastic, you know. And it's not too much to ask for. That's how you prove an animal exists.
Okay, but you always take the route of, I don't believe them because it's on the internet.
No, no, that's not the route at all. I don't care whether it's the internet. I don't care if you go to this, you find this person, you track them down to Tarleton and do a big video interview where they cry and tell you how scary it was when they were a boy and rah, rah, rah. Like, I don't care in what form you get the story. The point is, it's a story. It's a story. It's not evidence.
Okay. Well,
or it's shit evidence, is what I should say.
Fine. You always take the route of, I don't believe anecdotal sightings.
Yes, correct. I don't know. Do you find this sort of stuff worth looking into?
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
It's like, let's just take it as real for a moment and see how far it gets us. It doesn't hurt anyone by like talking about it that way.
Oh, okay. No, I'm game. I'm game. Let's assume it's real. Where does it get us?
Yeah. Okay. So hypothetically, this person definitely saw this ape-ish sort of thing.
Sure.
Okay. Let's talk about what the options are.
Okay.
Not in America.
Not a bear. Not a bear. Yeah.
Not a bear. I mean, the only way it can be a bear is if a bear escaped and it's a rogue bear.
Yeah.
But
very unlikely.
Even then, I think if I was this guy, I'd be like, I saw a bloody bear in England.
Yeah.
That's a great story on its own.
Yeah.
If not a better story, because people will be like, wow, ooh, funky.
Wow, bear. Possible.
Like,
yeah.
Like the Jabba Fofi of the last episode. People can sort of get that, they can trust that a little bit more, yeah, because it's a big spider. We know there's big spiders. This is just a bit bigger.
It's not like a dragon or something. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So, not a bear. Is it a human? Okay, we have some pretty scruffy humans in the world.
That's true. And he initially thought it was a human until it was only the sound that convinced him it couldn't be. And humans are capable of some pretty weird sounds.
Yeah, so a possibility is that it's like some vagabond or some guy living in the bush who's, you know, maybe he's so dirty that it looks like hair, but it's just actually mud and dirt on his skin or something.
Yeah, maybe this guy's really posh. He's never seen a homeless man before. Doesn't sound like it, because his grammar's not amazing, but yeah.
But, I mean, seems a little unlikely. I mean, he was 13, and adults are scary at 13, but I think still seems unlikely to me. I just think I'm running out of options. Like, that, the most plausible, like, non-cryptid option is a human, in my books.
Mm-hmm. I think
probably
so.
Probably yours is too. Yep.
Yep.
So, and the most logical, but even then, that's not very logical. Like, that doesn't make much sense for it to be a human.
Well, he thought it was at first, so it's not that implausible.
Yeah.
He says, I thought it was a human until I heard its blood-curdling cry.
Mm.
I've heard humans make some pretty blood-curdling noises, but
yes, that's
true. Yeah, no, you're right. I agree with your analysis so far, but this is all on the assumption that he is telling the truth.
That he's not lying, yes.
Yeah.
So let's just, because a lot, like you said, this is a lot of the details in here is a little bit like standard. Like, you know, I saw this ape thing, it made a scream, it was this tall, it was hairy, blah, blah.
Yeah.
A lot of similar sightings. Sounds similar, different places around the world, whatever, but sounds similar.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just assume, you're not going to like this, statistically, one of them have got to be truthful. Surely, they're not all lies.
I'm happy to make that assumption for the sake of argument.
Okay.
But you sound like you want me to agree that surely must be the case and not just make the assumption for the sake of argument, which I'm unwilling to do.
Same diffs. I mean, what ifs?
Okay.
Anyway, so the only logical thing that is a cryptid answer is a British Bigfoot. And like,
sure.
Some people call, for example, Bigfoot in America a phenomena. You know, like, you know, have you heard about how statues sometimes cry blood?
No, I don't think I'm as immersed in the world of lunatics as you are.
There was a whole talk at the last convention, the cryptid convention I just came back from. That was the first time I'd heard of it. It was insane. Okay, well, whatever. So the Bigfoot thing could be a phenomena that is just got the Bigfoot title. Doesn't necessarily mean it's a hairy ape, but it's an unexplained thing. I think British Bigfoot is an unexplained thing. In my head, it's a apish, Neanderthalish creature we haven't discovered yet. I mean, actually, here's another option, a plausible answer. It's an escaped gorilla from a zoo. That'd freak me out. Have you seen a silverback gorilla?
I don't.
You see one of them, like, kicking around the English countryside?
I don't know if they have those in British zoos, do they?
Surely.
Maybe they do. Actually, yeah, no, I've seen at least some, like, chimpy orangutan-y type things in a British zoo. Yeah, no, okay.
Anyway, we're not going to agree, and we're not going to land on the truth here. That's the fun.
I agree with you that there's something that requires explaining, some unexplained phenomena. I just think the explanation is there's a lot of crazy people. It's a big country.
Well, we'll go into British Bigfoot as a whole separate episode, and I'll bombard you with facts and photos and evidence and bring you around.
I look forward to being bombarded with these things.
Okay.
We're out of interest, just real quick. So,
yeah.
If there's so many people around the world that think these creatures exist in various places, and particularly in North America, why haven't they been caught even on these massive trap cam studies that are done by serious organizations designed specifically to find all of the kinds of animals that could exist? Is the idea that they're very intelligent and they know what trap cams are? But some of these trap cams are hidden. They don't have a special smell around them. It's not like the Bigfoot can smell humans coming, and so that's why they always avoid humans who happen to have proper cameras. Like, these are trap cams. There's no way an animal could know where the trap cams are and avoid them unless they're geniuses. I don't know. Like, what's the how do you get around that?
Okay, there's a couple.
Like, how do you get around that North Carolina study?
There's a couple of theories around this. The obvious elephant in the room theory is, like, it's a conspiracy, right? That, like, if they found a photo of a point blank
they would delete it.
Bigfoot, the government would be like, the government would be like, you delete that right now.
Okay.
Because if Bigfoot came out, the, like, logging industry would crash because you can't log Bigfoot habitat. The camping industry and outdoors activities industry would crash. Tourism would probably crash.
No, what are you talking about? Why would any of those things happen? That's bullshit.
If a huge primate got discovered, they'd protect the habitat like that. That would stop a lot of logging, stopping a lot of money.
Well, only if Bigfoots were everywhere and their environments overlapped a lot with... I mean, the logging industry doesn't have, like, huge lobbyists. They're not... This isn't, like, tobacco or, like, Big Pharma. But, okay, anyway, go on.
Anyway, that's the general theory. I mean, that's the cover-up theory.
Right.
But more... What I think is, like, I've heard reports that the trap cameras, especially the ones that use infrared lights at night, emit constant hum that's actually audible for humans if you know what you're listening for and you like just can be quiet for 5 minutes. So there's a theory that they can hear it and they are aware of it. Some people think maybe they can see infrared light.
Okay, that's a good explanation. That I accept. That's enough.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got a little bit more.
Oh, sorry, if there is more. Sorry.
There's just one more thing. I can't remember who. There was a good researcher who said, don't you think you would realize if you walked into your living room and there was a camera in the top left corner of your bedroom or whatever? Or your
because
living
my living room doesn't change day to day, but a forest is constantly changing, you dick. Not you, him.
It's a metaphor.
It's a shit metaphor.
It's an analogy. It's an analogy. So the thing is, the theory behind that is that they are well aware of their environment. They are constantly looking for predators and prey. They know everything is, and if they saw something out of place, they would be like, what the fuck is
that?
That's
right. You know, I'm happy with this line of argument. I'm really pleased with it because I like fighting on this battleground. This is a good tenor of argument. And as technology progresses and these cameras get smaller and smaller and more hard to notice and they stop emitting hums, that line of argument will fall over and then these people will be fucked, and I really look forward to it. So let's keep talking like this.
We'll see, or we'll get a photo and I'll be like, na 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 na.
Oh, but that'll be fantastic as well. How cool would it be if there were, like, actual Neanderthals or things like that? That'd be groovy as well. I just don't think there are.
There is a theory that the reason that we see, or we think we see Neanderthal sort of threats, which, you know, might be a bear or something, and we think it's a Neanderthal, is because we obviously, when we were, like, super, super primitive and still evolving, and there was those other different types of humanoids and, like, you know, Neanderthal, and there was Homo floresiensis or whatever. Yeah. And they were the tribe of, like, them and us, and mm-hmm. we fought with a lot of them. We also mated with a lot of them, but we fought with a lot of them, and that, like, constant awareness of other tribes and other sort of human species, they think is still embedded in our evolution, and, like, still embedded in our, how our brains formed to its final form now. So we see that threat.
So we're, like, hardwired to misinterpret bears as the Neanderthals or something.
Yeah, we still see that threat. Like, right. We're still looking for that threat because that's how we evolved. We're still, like, we wiped everything out, but we still have that looking for that specific threat. So it's pretty cool. That's...
If true. Yeah. Cool, yeah.
If true, yeah.
All right.
Another theory is that... I'm just going on a rant now. I just know a lot about this topic. Another theory is that people sometimes see possums in 7-foot high branches, and they'll see the face, and they'll, like, just assume there's a body underneath, and the possum looks a bit ape-like.
That seems like we're getting a bit off the deep end into real crazy territory there, but I don't know. Who knows?
That's fighting for the skeptical side. Anyway, whatevs.
Yeah, but it's like poor skepticism. I don't want that guy on my team.
All right. Okay.
Cool.
Fair enough.
I think that's the end of our stories.
Oh, wow. Yeah, totally is. Yeah.
Segments. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Cool. Well, that is the end of the Who Dis episode. But if you want more Cryptid Addicted, like I said, you can find us at patreon.com/cryptidaddicted, where we got some extra stuff. And I really hope some of you guys come and see my talk at Leyland at the convention. That'd be so cool. It'd be great to have some Cryptid Addicted fans. We can go get a drink. We can go talk crazy shit. When Paddy's not there, we'll talk behind his back. It'd be great.
Yeah.
He's not invited.
They all got pissed at the last convention, so it sounds like fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I was so hungover.
Except the 8-year-old kid. He didn't, I hope.
Yes, no, he was not. He went home with his mom. Excellent. Responsibly. Yes, we did. It was fantastic. So that's it.
Thanks for staying with us through this rather circuitous episode. And we'll see you next time.
Yeah, thank you so much. Take it easy. Bye.
Bye.